Let us pray. Lord God, as we remember, help us to focus our minds on you. May we be open to what you are saying to us. May we remember your promises, which are secure. And may we learn how to go out from here to live in your way, in the way of Jesus Christ, our Son, your Son, our Lord. Amen. I suppose on a day like this, we all approach it in different ways. We all have our own things to remember. I remember as a child wondering about Remembrance Day, wondering what my parents were thinking because their experience was totally different from mine. I remember that my father, though an ex-serviceman, rarely went to the cenotaph. I think I only remember him going once, maybe. But he would sit quietly on his own, or possibly with me beside him, although I knew at that point that he was really somewhere else, watching the cenotaph in London just before we went to church. I never knew what he was thinking. How could I? I didn't have his experience. I suspect he was thinking of a friend who was a pilot holding a plane in the air while he jumped out of it, knowing that he would never see, the pilot would never see his unborn child. I suspect he was back floating on a parachute into occupied France. He was almost certainly remembering the people, the farmers, who risked their lives to hide him in barns until they could get him across the border into Switzerland. How could we enter those thoughts, those minds? We all have our own thoughts, our own memories. I remember after a particularly emotional Remembrance Day in our home church, my mother being quite upset and saying, "Some of us have too much to remember. And maybe some people do." But that was a previous generation. We can't enter their lives, but we can be true to them. And we can remember the important things. I do remember once saying to my father, "What did you learn from the war?" And he echoed words which I think were Winston Churchill's, that it must never happen again. We need to remember. It seems to me that we are living right now through particularly perilous times. Conflicts seem to bubble up all over the earth. We're not in a world war, but in some ways, the world is at war. There are conflicts that we don't even know about because nobody in the media feels it important to tell us. But the ones we do know about are quite scary. And the whole fragility of the world, the world's place, has got to give us cause for concern. We must not forget the lessons of the past. We must never allow our differences to push us into violence and terror. We must not allow people to be dehumanized so that they become expendable. And we must never fail to build relationships with those for whom we differ, rather than push them aside. the lessons of war, learned so vividly by a previous generation, we must not forget today. And so we turn to this great psalm. It wasn't a war psalm, it was a psalm of worship. Psalm 46. A psalm that Israelites would sing on their way to the temple for one of the great feasts. Just as they entered the temple, probably. God is our strength and refuge, an ever-present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. God is the reason we do not fear. God, who created the world, is still in the world. Others may think they have control of our world. Donald Trump may get up in the morning and think, oh, I'm an important person. Vladimir Putin almost certainly thinks he's an important person. Benjamin Netanyahu, they are all important and we should recognize that. But let's never fall into the trap that any human being controls our world. There is only one person in charge of our world, and that is God. Therefore, we will not fear whatever happens, however events may trouble us. We do not need to fall into fear. Though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, God is there. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is the one who at creation spoke, and the world was created. And he speaks still. Later in the psalm, it says, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. God controls our world. And yet it is a broken place because we are sinful people. We have not obeyed God. We have not listened for his voice. And so the world cracks and people at times are destroyed. But God is God and we should never forget him. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The psalmist also reminds us that God provides. God provides for his world. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. Jerusalem, as you probably know, was built on a hill. The temple at the top of the hill, the city, the walled city round about. And that was good from a security point of view. But what people realized was that there was no water there. The water was outside the city walls. There was a well surged up called Gihon. But if hostile armies surrounded the city, the water was outside. And so they built a channel to bring the water in from Gihon through to, I think it was the Pool of Siloam it ended up. And we are told in the Old Testament of how that channel was built. The stream making glad the city of God because it gave even greater security. They would not be cut off from essential water. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God. There is always a way in which God provides for his people. We will never be left alone. We will never be left without the resources that we need. God is in control, and God cares. So he provides. God provides. And he also, we are told, acts for us. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns the shields with fire. God intervenes. God acts. We were talking earlier about memories, how far back your memories go. Well, most of you sitting here will have some memories of events to which I believe we can only attribute the work of God. It's 35 years since the fall of the Berlin Wall. Nobody predicted it. It happened. By chance, by coincidence, some would say. I don't think so. I think that was the moment that God decided the Cold War was finished. Well, the Arab Spring, nobody was looking for the Arab Spring when it sprung up. God intervened. And God will still intervene. God intervenes when he needs to. And God intervenes at his time. This psalm has been set to music, Adrian will know, in various ways. One of them is a hymn by Martin Luther. In 1529, a Turkish army, we're told, was besieging the city of Vienna. The city was cut off. And all of a sudden, the people in the city woke up one morning and the army had gone. Nobody knew why. It had just gone. And when Luther heard of it, he wrote the great hymn, Ein feste Burg in German, but we sing it as a safe stronghold our God is still. A safe stronghold. God acts. God intervenes. We must never forget it. Let's not believe that we are at the mercy of chance. God intervenes in our world. And finally, there's an invitation from the psalmist. Be still and know that I am God. We need stillness in our lives. It's hard to get it these days. I'm always amazed when I go out for a walk here or anywhere else at the people who are out walking or running. And instead of listening to the waves and the wind in their ears, instead of hearing the chatter of the birds, they have earphones in and they're listening to some music or other. There's great music out there, greater than any composer has ever written, if we would but hear it, the stillness of God in creation. Be still and know that I am God. We need to create stillness in our lives so that we can hear and understand and recognize the God who still loves his world, the world he created, the world he has never left. The God who acts for us. the God who will never leave us. You remember how Elijah, when he was running from Queen Jezebel, he hid in a cave, and there was earthquake, there was fire, there was loud noise all around him. God was in none of that. And then there was a still, small voice. Didn't ask him a very acceptable question, I suppose. What are you doing here, Elijah? But it was God's voice to him. Are we listening in our world, in our time, with our challenges? Do we listen to God? Before all else, before all the loud noises that come from our politicians, do we listen to God and find that He is here? Amen.